A production being described as a folk opera is being staged this weekend in Lexington. The cast of In These Fields includes writer Silas House and singer-songwriter Sam Gleaves, along with other award-winning actors and musicians. On this week's Eastern Standard, the singer and the playwright are here in the studio to talk about their latest collaborative work and perhaps other matters. As always, we're interested in hearing from you with your questions, your comments, your personal stories. Please write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. You can post a comment to the WEKU Facebook page or website at any time, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. It's time for Eastern Standard with Silas House and Sam Gleaves, right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsbergen. And this week, our final live program of 2016, we have around the table writer Silas House and folk musician Sam Gleaves. And together, they have put together, I guess you guys wrote it, Silas wrote it, put together an opera based around the concept of food spanning 175 years of history in the American South. It's called In These Fields. And it just so happens, a couple of weeks ago, I got an email late at night from Silas House offering that they would be interested in promoting their production. It's happening tomorrow, December 16th. And we had just had our previously planned guest canceled. So with us in the studio, Silas House. Silas, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
And Sam Gleaves. Sam, thank you for being here.
We're happy to be here.
Your first time in our studio.
Sure enough.
And really glad to welcome you. Also with us, we will be hearing from, along with Sam performing in a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Tyler Hughes and Deborah Payne. Hey, guys. They're back in the corner because they're relaxing, and they'll get up when it's time to perform. You're going to hear them do a number of tunes here on this week's Eastern Standard. This is an interactive show, so I do want to make sure you know that you can call in, you can email us as you would normally do if you'd like to talk with Sam or Silas about their show or anything else on your mind. Give us a call at 800-621-8890. Our email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Post on the Facebook page or the website, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. Silas and Sam, let's talk about this production. First of all, this is not the first time you guys have collaborated. You both live in Berea?
It's the first time we've officially collaborated. We collaborate a lot on the front porch,
that's true.
Or sitting around the kitchen table, but we were real happy that we were asked to write this together.
You were asked by whom?
The Southern Foodways Alliance, which is a large organization centered in Mississippi. Every year they have a conference, and they always have a big performance as sort of their last event. And this year they asked Sam and I to do this folk opera together.
Ah, so it's already been done at a conference, or is that coming up yet?
Yeah, we performed it at the Southern Foodways Alliance Symposium in Oxford, Mississippi on October 16th, I think. So we were really thrilled to get to share it with this audience of food writers and chefs and documentarians and all these.
Yeah, it was a commissioned show, so technically it was supposed to be a one time only thing, but once people heard about it, we were asked to do it in Kentucky, and so we've gotten the cast back together to do it. And we're really excited to be doing this right before Christmas to celebrate food and community, and especially after the year that everybody has gone through, feeling pummeled by everything that's happened this year. We're looking at it as a night of celebrating community and art, and putting some positive vibes out into the world.
Well, a lot of our listeners are artistically inclined or familiar with arts and cultural activities, and they know about opera, but I assume this is not a lot like opera that you might hear from the Metropolitan Opera on Saturday afternoon.
Well, as you can imagine, I mean, growing up playing banjo and fiddle and guitar and stuff, I was not part of any operas, but this is a folk opera which tells the stories of working class rural people, and through folk music and storytelling, from a folk perspective.
It's an Opry.
Yeah.
like the Grand Ole Opry.
Grand Ole, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, to my understanding, the definition of folk opera is that, you know, that it's basically a musical told from the point of view of rural working class people. And that's certainly what this is. It was a daunting task because they asked us to write specifically about corn. Hmm. And so at first we didn't know what we would do. And then after we started talking, we had so much material, we had to really narrow it down.
So is there a plot line? And characters are named characters, yes, in a narrative?
Yeah, it's a series of monologues from people who are connected by agriculture. So we go, we start out in the 1830s with the Cherokee removal. We go through slavery, sharecropping, moonshining, education, and then finally end on notes of equality and fairness. But what connects it all is the way that food binds us all together. Food is the great equalizer. And, you know, ultimately it becomes about community and also about one thing we thought a lot about was shame, because Southern people are so often shamed for everything, but especially for what we eat. And so that was one thing we were thinking about.
Yeah, and so as Silas would write these monologues, often he would send one to me, and then I would read the story and be inspired to write a song to accompany that monologue. And I tried to make it all the music as rooted as possible in Southern traditions. So, you know, for instance, like following the Cherokee monologue, there's a traditional Cherokee melody that I used and I wrote new lyrics to it. Or, you know, following this African-American woman's story during Reconstruction, I used an African-American spirituals. I took the words from old spirituals and I wrote a new melody. So, you know, I would try to make and some of the songs I wrote, you know, the tune and the text outright, but I would try to make it as rooted as possible in tradition.
For the most part, it's very original things that we haven't heard. We've never had, certainly not in this form before.
Right. I think one of probably the smartest thing we did was we chose an amazing cast. And so we have Adonma Onyedike Barton plays two roles, and she's an acclaimed actress who now lives in Berea, originally from Richmond, Virginia, really well known in the world of theater. Deborah Payne plays a moonshiner and does a beautiful job out of that, as well as playing fiddle and singing. Carla Gover is well known in the region. She's formerly a member of Zoe Speaks and is a solo artist in her own right, who is an actress and plays banjo and sings an amazing a cappella number. Jason Howard's a pianist. He plays alto harp. He's performing as a sharecropper in the show. I'm making my acting debut in the show, and I've been more nervous about that than anything in my whole life.
And
Sam is the musical director and plays everything throughout the show and sings.
Yeah, it's been such a thrill to work with such amazing musicians who are all storytellers. You know, they may not be trained actors, but they're definitely storytellers, and that I think that comes through in the production.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Our guests in the studio, writer Silas House and musician, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Sam Gleaves. And we have Tyler Hughes and Deborah Payne going to be performing with Sam. Stay with us for the first time on Eastern Standard. I don't think we've ever had any live music on Eastern Standard before. So we're going to hear a couple of the tunes from the folk opera In These Fields that is being produced on Friday evening at Arts Place in Lexington. I think I got those details right.
Yeah,
you did.
And again, the show based on the concept of food, couple of hours, I assume it's going to be a fun time.
It'll be, a couple of hours by the time we have the two opening acts, and we're going to have a talk back to talk about the show. And tickets can be purchased at the door, but also online. If people just type in These Fields in Facebook, our page should come up, and the link to tickets is on there.
I want to talk about other matters as well as this production. Like Silas, you're well known for your novels and a couple of other plays. Talk about your background. Talk about how you came up from Laurel County, Kentucky, and all of a sudden have received what I would say international acclaim for your work.
Well, I just always wanted to be a writer. From the time I was in seventh grade, I was very serious about it. And, you know, I just devoted everything to that and educated myself on it, but also, you know, went to college and just immersed myself in the world of writing. Going to the Hyman Settlement School's Appalachian Writers Workshop was a really big turning point for me to find my community. You know, people think of writing as being a very solitary task, but it's been really important to me what a great community I've had as a writer. And we're really lucky in this part of the country because we have such an amazing community of artists. And we really all, you know each other and care about each other and support each other, the writers and musicians and painters and, you know, whatever. It's just a great group of artists. So I'm really indebted to the people who have helped me that way.
So many people in Kentucky and elsewhere will get an education. They grow up, they get their education, and next thing we know, they're gone off someplace else to find their fame and their fortune. Why are you still in Kentucky?
Well, here lately I've been asking myself that with the political climate. But because I can't leave the land and I can't leave my people. And every time that I get frustrated by the, you know, things that are going on, it makes me want to fight that much harder. So stay and fight, and you stay and love each other. And I think it goes back to what I was saying. There's just an amazing community here, and I don't think you get that in most places.
Talk about the role that Kentucky and Appalachia plays in your work and your writing. I mean, I have not read everything that you've written, but is Appalachia in the themes of home in everything that you've written?
Yeah, even the things that aren't set in Appalachia, that is there. You know, being from this place, I think the defining thing to me is community and family, whether that be blood or created, you know. And so those things are run through all my work, and I think those are things that no matter how specific the place is, everybody in the world can relate to that, you know. When I write, I also really feel a sense of trying to be of service. I think that artists have a responsibility to be of service to people.
We're going to hear some of the music from the folk Great. Opera In These Fields, and we're going to talk about Sam's career. And he's got an expanding, growing career and getting a lot of acclaim for his music, the album that was released in 2015. But you've got another one in your back pocket.
Well, if I can get it done here.
We're going to hear about that. We're also going to hear some music from Sam and friends, Brenda Payne and Tyler Hughes, in just a few moments as Eastern Standard continues. You're welcome to join us. Got a question? Got something you want to talk about with Silas House and Sam Gleaves? 800-621-8890. Send us an email, weku@eastern-standard.gmail.com. Send a tweet at weku est.
Take my hand, come on children, take my hand, come on children, take my hand. There's a welcome table in the Canaan land. If religion was a thing that money could buy, welcome table in the Canaan land. The rich would live and the poor would die, welcome table in the Canaan land. Now some say Peter and some say Paul, welcome table in the Canaan land. Ain't but the one God made us all, welcome table in the Canaan land. Come on children, take my hand, come on children, take my hand, come. Come on, children, take my hand. There's a welcome table in the Canaan land. Now, one of these mornings, bright and fair, welcome table in the Canaan land. Gonna put on my wings and feel the air. Welcome table in the Canaan land. Gonna rise and rise, ain't gonna stop. Welcome table in the Canaan land. Until I reach that mountain top. Welcome table in the Canaan land. Come on, children, take my hand. Come on, children, take my hand. Come on, children, take my hand. There's a welcome table in the Canaan land. I set my hand on the gospel plow. Welcome table in the Canaan land. And I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Welcome table in the Canaan land. Come on, children, take my hand. Come on, children, take my hand. Come on, children, take my hand. There's a welcome table in the Canaan land. Come on, children, take my hand. Come on, children, take my hand. Come on, children, take my hand. There's a welcome table in the Canaan land.
All right. Sam Gleaves and friends, Tyler Hughes, Brenda Payne, live in the studio on Eastern Standard this week. I'm John Hingsbergen with Sam Gleaves and Silas House. And Sam, I'll give you a moment to get resettled here.
Cool.
Silas, Sam, tell me about the song, where that fits into your production in these fields.
Yeah, it follows the story of a character named Sarah who is living just after the Civil War during Reconstruction in the South, and she lives on the land where she farmed as a slave. And she's talking about, after receiving her freedom, talking about why she's deeply connected to that place and how she doesn't want to leave because her family's history is there. And so I immediately thought about the spirituals that were sung in the fields by slaves. And there's so many stories of resilience, and the spirituals have so much strength in them, and the lyrics draw a lot of that strength, I think. So I used old lyrics from African-American spirituals, and I wrote the melody. And that theme of the welcome table runs through lots of spirituals.
One thing we were really trying to do throughout the show is not only tell a story in the monologues and the songs, but also in the stage pictures. And so as you watch the show, you see race relations in the South evolve. And so, you know, early on in the show, we go from people being in bondage to, by the end of the show, a real unity that's on display. So it's sort of our hope, you know, it's what the best of the world could be. It's sort of what you're seeing in those stage pictures and the way this, the evolution between this couple that goes throughout the show, who start out, you know, separated by class and race, and then, you know, throughout the show, then you have them dancing together and sitting down at the table together to eat, et cetera.
So it's a story based on reality, hard times, difficulties, tensions among peoples, and then an evolution or a progression.
Yes. And we also, you know, it's a meditation on unity. It's something we so sorely need right now. I think our country's so divided. And so I have been really excited about doing the show because I really do think it's a celebration of that unity in that community.
I want to make sure we return to that theme of current status politically, mm-hmm. and our divided country as we talk a little bit about Sam's career. Give a moment to talk about what you've been doing. Our listeners, many of our listeners may have heard a show we did. Sam recorded a concert at the church I belong to up in Lexington actually last winter, and we aired it during our Kentucky Summer Stage series. But a lot of those tunes are from your album, Ain't We Brothers?
That's right. Uh-huh. I have been so privileged to work with I mean, when Silas was speaking about the community of people that have helped him, you know, move forward in his art, I feel the same way. Because in the traditional music community, I was really fortunate to have so many mentors who were very generous in spending their time with me and helping me along. And one of those mentors is Kathy Fink, who produced my record, Ain't We Brothers, which is my first record of original songs. And there's lots of traditional music woven in through there, too. And I've been traveling this year getting the word out about that record more than ever, which has been a real thrill and a lot of fun.
I mean, Janice Ian is on your CD.
Yeah. She was a lovely person. She came in. She lives in Nashville, and that's where we recorded. And so Kathy went and had breakfast with her one morning, and then the next day she said she would come in and sing on a song. So that was a thrill.
What got you from Wythe County, Virginia to Berea, Kentucky?
Well, Berea College. I only applied to two colleges, and Berea was one of them. Hmm. And I fell in love with the college because when I first went there to visit, I heard the college bluegrass ensemble perform at a meal, and I thought that band is a class, and I want to be in it.
You ended up probably in for a couple of years.
I did. I was all 4 years. I was at Berea. I traveled with that band directed by Al White, who's a dear friend of ours and dear friend of Deborah's too, and. Yeah, he's a wonderful man, and I learned a lot about performing being in that band.
I mean, the themes of your songs are based on social issues. I would say one common element between you, Sam, and Silas is that a lot of what you're doing is there's a message in what you're writing and producing, perhaps encouraging or celebrating social change, and talk a little bit about the themes. And again, Ain't We Brothers is the story of a West Virginia coal miner who was gay.
Right. Folk music has always told the story of real people in an honest way. And so I feel like in writing new songs, contemporary folk music, I want to honor that and continue to write stories about folks that might be on the margins of our society now. So I was very honored to get to write a song about Sam Williams, the coal miner you mentioned from West Virginia, who's openly gay and fought a battle with the coal company he worked for to get equal. He'd been discriminated against, and so he fought for equality and became a real spokesperson. So it was great to get to tell his story.
I mean, it seems to me that there's got to be a cultural tension. I mean, when we talk about politics and the current state of the world, Kentucky has pretty much been not a liberal state for quite some time, although there were a lot of folks who were Democrats identified with the Democratic Party. But clearly, in this past election, it was known far in advance that Kentucky would go the direction of Trump. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a direction of some of the messages that you're portraying in your music, that you're portraying in your writing, Silas. Talk about that cultural, a little bit of a tension there. I mean, creating work, creating art of whatever type in the midst of a culture where there you may be surrounded by a lot of people who believe very differently than you.
Well, first of all, you know, as a novelist, the biggest thing you need is trouble, and so
little tension.
When you've got that conflict, it makes for better art, I think. Maybe that's one reason we have so much great art in the South and in the Commonwealth. I don't know. I think it drives us as artists too to tell stories. I think when you're up against, you know, such big forces, words and music are often what it comes down to. You know, you realize the importance of community and family and art. And so I think that really helps it to thrive. Doesn't make it any, well, it does make it easier. The art does make it easier. It makes, you know, that community and that comes from art and the beauty of art. Is the positive part of really troubling times. And I certainly, you know, feel like we're we're in troubled times, and so it's going to be interesting to see what art comes out of that. And, you know, this show is definitely a product of that.
In these fields, the folk opera that you're producing on Friday night, the 16th. We do have one caller on the line, and I want to encourage our listeners to be part of the show by calling 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at wekuest. Let us go ahead and talk to Kay from Lexington, who is on the line. Kay, you are on the air with Silas and
it's
Sam.
Good to be on the air. Can I talk to Silas Troublehouse?
He's right here.
Hi.
Hi, Silas. This is Kay Garner. Is Landra up here with you?
Landra?
Landra Lewis.
I was just with her last night.
Is she staying with her daughter up here now, or is she staying at home down in Berea?
I'm not sure.
So, Kay, do you have a question or something that our listeners will be interested in?
About Silas.
Sure.
And his ability to write a folk opera.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pose my question to Silas Troublehouse now?
Absolutely, please.
Silas, how you doing, baby?
Pretty good.
So, are you stressed about this holiday? You keeping busy?
I'm trying to.
Okay,
you're too
Kay.
Busy, Silas Trouble.
So, Kay, what do you want to know about about Silas and producing the folk opera?
What he's going to do after he finishes this opera? Does he have another novel in the works?
I have a new novel coming out in 2018, and it's about a preacher who kidnaps his little boy and runs off to Key West, Florida. And I'm also working on a new novel right now that's set in Ireland, and I'm doing research on a play about Mary Todd Lincoln. So I always have several pots on the stove boiling at once.
Kay, thank you so much for your call. Our phone number, 800-621-8890. If you'd like to be part of our conversation and like to talk with Silas House or Sam Gleaves about their work, about the specific project that they've been doing and they're presenting this weekend, or other things on your mind, maybe their concerns and social issues that you'd like to discuss with them, send us a note, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. That number again, 800-621-8890. Back to Sam Gleaves. I mean, this CD, this album you produced, a lot of the music being produced these days is not necessarily on a hard form, a tangible disc like a CD or a record like we used to have, or cassettes. Why did you choose to go to a CD and not just post to iTunes or do a download service?
Well, I love physical media. You know, my dad, dad would play vinyls for us on Sunday morning, and he, you know, music to me is very attached to reading liner notes, you know, holding the disc. So I just couldn't see myself separating from that. I like that aspect of an artist's relationship with the listener. I mean, it's all through the physical thing to me, you know. So
I mean, I've worked in radio a long time, and there was a whole stream of, you know, how things got produced and how records happened, and there were, you know, people out looking for talent. And then they would get signed to contracts with major labels, and then they would start producing albums. But the whole music industry has changed tremendously.
It has.
In 30 years, I would say.
It's really enabled grassroots, you know, development among musicians. You know, now you can produce a record without a record label, and you can do, you know, these things on your independently, which is great. And it's enabled a lot of people to get on the scene.
Can you make money with a CD like this? Are you making any money? Are you getting back whatever you invested in this?
Well, you know, there's not as much money in folk music, but there's a lot of love and there's a lot of good work you can do.
I know somebody, a common friend of ours, who often talks about there's a reason folk rhymes with broke.
Oh, that's a good, yeah, that's a good joke.
And he's on the line.
He is.
Hey, Michael? You're on the air, Michael.
Hey, John. How are you?
Very well. Michael Jonathan.
I just wanted to call and compliment Silas and Sam for, I know how hard it is to get any valuable piece of art on a stage in front of people, and the fact that they so consistently accomplish this. I just wanted to call and compliment them and give them applause from the highway. I've been listening for the past 20 minutes, and I think they're both doing a wonderful thing. And, John, you are an excellent interviewer. This has been a great program.
Thank you, Michael. That's very kind of you.
Well, Sam, you're doing a great job, and you didn't mention that you were out on the road in Europe with Peggy Seeger.
Yeah, she is an amazing woman. I was really thrilled to get to do that.
Well, you know, that's a great compliment to you that someone of that stature would think so much of you to bring her on the road. And Silas, congratulations on the book coming out in 2018, but especially bringing something like this to the stage Friday night, and I hope you have a packed out.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Michael, thank you so much. Michael Jonathan, the producer, creator, host of the Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour, a folk musician, broke musician, traveling around the country and sharing his music as well as kind of one of the folks. I first heard of Sam Gleaves when Sam performed on stage during the Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour with Tom Paxton.
Wow.
I'd never heard of Sam Gleaves before, so thanks to Michael Jonathan. 800-621-8890 is our number if you'd like to get on the line to talk with Silas House or Sam Gleaves. We're going to hear a little bit more music. We're going to hear a little bit more about this folk opera that is being staged at Arts Place in Lexington. Of course, our listeners will hear the show on Sunday evening as well, and you missed it. If you're tuned in on Sunday evening, but we hope that we're still producing an interesting radio show that it'll be worth listening to. But the production is happening at Arts Place, which is where Red Barn Radio, the listeners here
on
our air here at WEKU, where that happens. Any staging issues? I mean, operas oftentimes have costumes and stage sets and issues of that type.
It's a pretty minimalist show. It's basically a table and chairs, skillet of cornbread, jars of moonshine, and a lot of corn.
To shuck, yeah.
It's getting harder to find corn shuck this time of year. It was a little easier when we first did it, but I found some. So we will be shucking corn on stage and square dancing and clogging. And, you know, it's a really eclectic show in that way.
Sam, a quick preview. What are we going to hear when we come back from the break?
We'll be performing the last song in the folk opera. It's called Blessing.
All right, that's coming up as part of our live Eastern Standard show here on this Thursday morning. Silas House and Sam Gleaves in the studio. 800-621-8890 is our phone number. You can write to us by email at any time, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKUEST.
And human ties that bind. There's a blessing at this table, making room right next to me. This table has seen bounty, and it's held just what we need. Keep us mindful and humble, ever close to what is real. This food we were brought up on, we raised it in these fields. In these fields, God moves in kindness, I've heard folks say, by our different teachers, we're led this way. Now this food is laid before us, and so many do without. Let us work to share this plenty now. It's an old, old story, it's ours to tell. We take pride in anything we raise ourselves. What is growing here between us? You know it ain't all kind. Help us tend that holy vine. There's a blessing at this table, making room right next to me. This table has seen bounty, and it's held just what we need. Keep us mindful and humble, ever close to what is real. This food we were brought up on, we raised it in these fields. In these fields, in these fields, in these fields.
Wow, we are honored and blessed to have Sam Gleaves, Deborah Payne, and Tyler Hughes performing live in our studio on this week's Eastern Standard. I'm John Hingsbergen, with Sam Gleaves and Silas House, discussing the folk opera that they're producing. So kind of a blatant promotion of the project, but that's okay because it seems like a worthy cause and something that is worth folks checking out, something a little bit different. Is there a connection to the holiday season? Doing it, you know, this nine days till Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we wanted to do it as a benefit for a program that is feeding people in our region. So we are donating the proceeds from the show to the Hindman Settlement School in Knott County, and they have meals during their various children's programs. And so we're donating the proceeds from the show tomorrow night at Arts Place to them. And that Hindman has been an influential place for both of us.
And they do a lot in the region to teach people how to garden, teach people how to preserve their food, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought it was a great place for the money to go. We're also being supported by the Appalachian Food Summit. So we want to make sure we mention them. They're doing such important work in the region to have conversations about our food ways and change our food ways in the region. You know, I mean, we have so many food deserts in Appalachia. And the Appalachian Food Summit's doing amazing work of preservation and education. The Midway Bakery School is also supporting us, and they're a wonderful organization. Once again, you know, it's a great community to be a part of, and people who all help out.
Eastern Standard is an interactive show. We're always glad to hear from you, whether you call in at 800-621-8890, whether you send us an email, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com, or a tweet at WEKUEST. Feel free to follow us and message us. I want to acknowledge a little series of tweets here in a moment, but again, remind you that if you'd like to be part of the show, feel free to call 800-621-8890. We're going to wrap up our conversation a little early because we want to have Sam and the crew perform another tune for us before we wrap up this week's show. So get on the line now if you want to talk to Silas and Sam. Lisa Day, professor at Eastern Kentucky University, you nodding as if you know Lisa. You
know,
she's very well known here on campus at Eastern. She writes, Silas House beautifully articulates the difficulty and need of artists to stay in the trouble of Kentucky and the South. And a second message, thank you, Silas, for communicating the other voices of the South, not the Confed flag wavers that dominate media regarding the South. So that Lisa Day. Thank you so much. Lisa's been a guest on this program. We also had a message from a listener who didn't stay on the line, but Richard from Berea phoned in, wanted to know if the folk opera In These Fields will be repeated. I mean, this is the repeat that never was supposed to happen, right, already?
Yes, but we may do it again. We've just been asked to do it a couple more places, so we're still working out the details of that. We've been asked to do it in Nashville and in Berea, so we may do that.
Yeah, we're hopeful.
Sam, regarding your recording, you said you may have another album. You have enough songs for an album yet? What's the process for you in putting together a recording?
Well, I've been thinking recently about I mean, a lot of the themes that Silas was talking about family and community and how important those have been to my music. And so I'm putting together a record of songs celebrating family and community, not only the community where I grew up or the community where I live now, but the activist community and for, you know, LGBTQ equality and environmental issues and things. I'm trying to think of all those as part of the new record I'm working on. And I write, you know, not as often as I want to, but I've got the songs to do it. I just have to, I want it to all adhere to the theme. So,
well, we talk about this term, troubled times, and the current political climate. Just your opinions, which you're welcome to express, about what this current situation of the Trump administration, Trump presidency, that was totally unanticipated. If anyone would have guessed a year ago, well, that would never have expected that the outcome of this election. Very much in many people's minds, kind of a reversal of where things have been going one direction, marriage equality, and so many other issues. Obamacare was put in place. But the Trump administration is likely to reverse some of those kind of things. What does that do for artists and do for people who are in disagreement with these positions?
It makes us sad and terrified. That's two things it does for me. But then again, you know, every time that I say that I'm sad and terrified and ready to move to Ireland, then the other thing kicks in where I want to fight back and I want to stand up for what's right. And I just feel so fortunate to have a platform on which to do that, you know, to have a voice. And I think a lot of people in Kentucky feel as if they have taxation without representation. And often when people don't feel their legislators are doing their job, they turn to the artist. And so that's why I think, you know, we have an even bigger responsibility now.
I think so also. And I mean, there's such an opportunity to convey through the arts controversial discussions that, I mean, you know, when you say something in a song or in a short story or a chapter of a novel, people are much more likely to listen from a human perspective. And that's what I think is the real hope that we have through the arts, is that although we're very different and a lot of us are going home to Christmas celebrations or holiday celebrations with people who believe so differently than we do, we have music and we have stories and things that and food that can bring us together and give us a common ground, you know.
Yeah, it's just like when they ask us to write a show about corn. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, corn is hugely important to us as people. But really what we had to do is tell the human story of corn. And so that's what it always comes back to, right, is that human story that you're trying to tell.
Well, so many of us tend to live in our own little bubbles. I mean, I think we could describe Berea as a bit of a bubble,
a
community with a certain kind of a stereotype or a mindset that people would label it. We tend to hang with people who are like ourselves, go to church with people who are like ourselves, socialize. Do either of you have stories where your art has maybe crossed lines with people who you never thought would appreciate what you're doing, and you found that because of your work, you were able to create a bit of a bridge?
Well, the best example I have of that is I did a play called This Is My Heart for You that was all about a gay couple who's being ostracized in their town, and a hate crime occurs, and et cetera, et cetera. And we had a talk back every night. Adama Barton directed that show, and one thing Adama and I really wanted to do was create a community conversation about these issues. So every night we'd have that conversation. And, you know, it was sometimes a hard conversation. But one night a man came in and he said, "The only reason I came to see this show is because my daughter's in it. I didn't want to come see this, but it's changed my heart. And it's made me understand this in a new way, this issue in a new way." And I think it's because he was seeing a human story. He was seeing a story about a mother and a son. And about people, and it wasn't just, you know, some soundbite in the news or something like that. You know, it was something he could relate to. So that is the power that art has in that way. And I know that I've been changed by art. You know, I was raised in a place where everybody was the same, it seemed to me, that everybody looked the same and believed the same. I read To Kill a Mockingbird in the seventh grade, and, you know, that was mind-boggling for me. I read The Color Purple in the 10th grade. That changed my whole world, you know? So I know that it can do that.
So you were influenced, that literature influenced mm-hmm. you, and kind of that's maybe those are some of the kind of the things that put you on the path to
writing
and sharing.
Open a book and open your mind. Yeah.
Wow. And Sam, with your music, you nodded an affirmative immediately when I asked that question about bridging with others who may be in disagreement.
Yeah, I was I had some fears and reservations when I was recording the album Ain't We Brothers that we were talking about, because a lot of a lot of them are love songs from my real life. So I'm a gay man, and these are, you know, I was a little hesitant to release. It's something that felt a little bit like my diary, you know, and a little bit very personal. And
two Virginia boys.
Yeah, I know. So what got me through that fear and hesitation was that people were so encouraging and thankful that I was using traditional Appalachian music to talk about the contemporary life that I live. So I was really grateful for that. And to my knowledge, I only had one person walk out of a show this year that appeared to be because they were offended. And I've never gotten a single piece of hate mail or any kind of negative comment or anything like that online, which I think speaks to the fact that folk music does tell real stories that people can relate to. And that that has built a lot of bridges for me.
I think it speaks to the fact that, for instance, Sam, I know you better than Silas. I just met Silas in person for the first time today, but I think that there's nothing threatening about you.
Well, thank you.
when you perform, when you meet people, you seem like a pleasant person, a loving and caring person.
Well,
and
I would say the same about you.
But what I'm trying to say is when people meet in under those terms, rather than, you know, hell no, we won't go protests of the 60s when there's
right.
an awful lot of negativity and hatred and mean-spirited
well,
stuff
going
on. Well,
that's the other thing, you know, is we also didn't want to write a polemic with this show. Although those issues are all there, it's not, you know, it's a joyful show. And there are moments of, hopefully, that you're moved, you know, the audience before really reacted to it in an emotional way. But we also think it's full of hope and you know, I think that that's really important to hang on to that hope, especially in the darker days.
Silas House, Sam Gleaves here with us for this week's Eastern Standard. Sam, you're going to play us out with another tune, again, doing something a little bit different than we've ever done on this program before. Tell us what we're going to hear in a moment. But first of all, let's the details again, one more time, a blatant promotion for the show at Arts Place on Friday night, Silas.
It's at Arts Place, 161 North Mill Street. There will be tickets at the door, $20, $10 for students, 12 and under is free. You can buy tickets in advance on the Facebook page. So if you type in these fields, it should come up. Or you can go to my page, just Silas House, and there's a link there as well.
All right, Sam, what are we going to hear in a moment?
We're going to do an excerpt from a song called Moonshine, which is in the play.
It's a fun one.
Okay, and actually, bad timing. I need to let Sam get up and go to the microphone with Deborah and Tyler as we wrap up this week's Eastern Standard. Silas House, once again, a pleasure. You must come back. We must talk. When's your next novel coming out?
It'll be the spring of 18.
Okay.
While they're getting ready, I wanted to just say how great the songs are in the show. I was just so impressed by what Sam was able to do. I'm always, he was actually my student, and I'm so proud of him. And he does such a really takes things to new heights in this show.
All right. And once they're in tune, we'll turn it back over to almost there.
Tuning a banjo is my whole life.
Say that again, Sam?
Oh, tuning a banjo is my whole life.
And I know you tell stories during tuning.
That's right.
All right, let's turn it back over. Sam Gleaves, Deborah Payne, Tyler Hughes.
All right, one, two, three, four.
Gather round, folks, and listen well. Of old corn liquor I'm fixing to tell. Drink it out back, sip it at the ball. That old cash money was the ruin of it all. That old moonshine, people, ain't it fine? Let the vineyard have its wine. Give me moonshine. That old moonshine, people, ain't it fine? Let the vineyard have its wine. Give me moonshine.
Thanks for being with us for this week's Eastern Standard. Thanks to our guests, Silas House, Sam Gleaves, Tyler Hughes, and Deborah Payne for providing music for us. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producers are Marissa Hempel, Brian Burkhart, and Grant Willoughby. Congratulations to Grant Willoughby, Grant graduating this week. Our technical director for this week's show, Roger Duvall. Thank you, Roger, for your assistance. A reminder, this show will be available online as a podcast, and we'll repeat on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're always interested in your comments. Write to us at WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at WEKU EST.